Maxwell House Coffee presents Good News of 1940. Makers of Maxwell House Coffee welcome you to another hour of entertainment brought to you each week from Hollywood and starring Fanny Bryce, Roland Young, Hanley Stafford, Connie Boswell, and Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Tonight's guests of honor are the famous fighter Maxie Rosenblum and the dean of the Dead End Kids, Billy Hallop, Nadine Connor, and here's a surprise, your host for this evening is that genial fellow you've seen on a thousand picture screens, Edward Arnold.
Good evening, everybody. Yes, I'm Edward Arnold. There's nobody more surprised to find me here than me. All I know is that the other day my good friend Walter Houston called me up and said, Eddie, I need your help. I can't possibly appear on the program this week. He said, I've talked to the Maxwell House people and they think you'd be great for the job. So if you say okay, I'll be happy and they'll put you on the program. So I did and he did and they did and anyway, I'm glad I'm here.
Glad to see you, Eddie. I'm Maxie Rosenblum.
Oh, hello, Maxie. Haven't seen you in months.
Oh, that's all right. Drop in the club anytime.
Yeah, you bet I will. Say, you've put on a few pounds, haven't you?
Who, me? Guy thinks he's a lightweight.
I led with my chin that time, didn't
Which
I?
Which one? No kidding, Eddie. Didn't you used to be a wrestler?
No, I was too frail. You want to know what I used to do before I became an actor?
Precisely.
I used to be a jockey.
Ducky.
Yeah, I rode percherons at county fairs.
Percherons? I'm going out to look that up. Where's my wife? Hey, Muriel, where's the book with the words?
Well, that gives you an idea of what we've got to contend with. Well, we've got to get on with the program, and I see Meredith Wilson getting impatient. All right, we begin with the number one bounce tune of the season, whatever that means, and it's called Are You Having Fun? That was a new song called Are You Having Any Fun from George White Scandals. Very good, Meredith.
Well, thank you, Mr. Arnold.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like...
Pardon.
Yes.
Mr. Arnold, on behalf of I and my orchestra, it behooves me to, at this time, extend a sincere and hearty welcome to you upon this very auspicious occasion. All right, fellas.
They make a lot of noise, don't they? Thanks very much.
That was nothing, Eddie.
Okay, Sam, Meredith. Listen, Fats, I...
What did you call me?
Fats.
Now, wait a minute. There's just one thing I... Nothing.
Listen, Fats, I looked up the word percheron or something. No such word in the book.
Of course there is, Maxie. It's a workhorse. P-E-R-C-H-E-R-O-N.
P. I thought it was P-U, like in Purdy.
That's a very natural mistake.
I accept your apology. Listen, you want to be a big success on this program, don't you, Fat?
I certainly do, Stumblebum.
Now you're talking my language. All right, I've been on this program before, see, and you ain't.
Granted.
In the second place, I've been running a nightclub 2 years, and what I don't know about putting on a show ain't worth knowing.
Granted.
In the third, what's this granite?
Go ahead, Maxie, it's just a telephone exchange. I know everybody's dying to hear Maxie's maxims for maximum success on Maxwell House, huh?
As a maxer of ceremony. As a maxer of ceremony.
Yes, granted.
Okay, rule number one. This is all psychology, you know.
Oh, sure.
Show business is just like the fight racket. Rule number one, you got to come out punching. Hit the audience before they hit you.
You make it sound like a very frightening business.
That's where rule number two comes in. Personality.
Personality, and how do I acquire that?
Don't worry, Fat. I got enough for the both of us.
Well, then my troubles are over.
Oh, not yet. After that, you got to learn to act.
You're making it very discouraging.
Fat, your fears are groundless. 2 years ago, did I know I would soon be the greatest actor in the world? No!
Well, Maxie, you have a phenomenal instinct, you see.
Nah, I'm just overtrained. But look at me today. I plow through the diction lessons like rain through a flower pot.
Don't tell me you're taking diction lessons. That carrying coals to Newcastle.
Who is?
That's just a metaphor, Maxie.
Granite. But them diction lessons is really tough. Every day a whole hour reciting them jawbreakers.
You mean like Peter Piper picked a peck of peckle peppers?
Ah, that kid stuff. You ever hear a thing called Hamlet's soliloquy?
Hamlet's soliloquy? You don't mean soliloquy.
No, we ain't up to that. Would you like to hear me rip off this here soliloquy business?
I certainly would.
Your slightest wish is my command. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them. Rosenblum.
That's magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. Do you know any other passages from Shakespeare?
Shakespeare? Is that from Shakespeare?
Yes, of course.
Holy smoke, I'm better than I thought I was. Hey, Muriel, I'm training with Shakespeare. A setup.
What a man, what a man.
He ain't a man, Eddie. He's a left hook and pant.
Well, maybe you're right, Connie. I'm glad you spoke up because I was just going to ask a favor of you.
Anything for you, boss man. That is, if you want me to sing Jumpin' Jive.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Connie Boswell.
Jive makes you get your kicks on the mellow side. Hev, hev. Hev, hev. Now the jim, jam, jump is a solid jive. Makes you 9 foot tall when you're 4 foot five. Hev, hev. Hev, hev. Don't be a nickaroo. Get hev and follow through. And here's the thing to do. Make the place jump like the gators do. Oh, the jim jam jump is a jumping jive. Make you like your eggs on the Jersey side. Hep, hep. Hep, hep. Jim jam jumping jive. Make you hep, hep on the mellow side.
Hep, hep.
Come on, boy, let's dig some more.
More.
That's right, that's the spirit.
More.
Come on, and now let's hear it.
Jim, jam, jumpin' jive.
Well, the jim, jam, jump is jumpin' jive. Makes you get your kicks on the mellow side. Hep, hep.
Hep, hep.
Hep, hep.
Hep, hep.
Now the jim jam jump is solid jive. Makes you 9 foot tall when you're 4 foot five. Hep, hep. Hep, hep.
Hep, hep. Don't be that ain't a room.
Get hep and follow through. like the getters do now. The chimp can't jump, his jump and jive takes you like your eggs on the Jersey side. Hep, hep. Hep, hep. Jim Jam jump and jive makes you hep, hep on the mellow side.
And now here's Warren Hull, who uses word magic to turn back the pages of history.
Thank you, Edward. Tonight, friends, I'm going to take you back 50 years. Together, we enter a stately southern dining room, two stories high, almost 200 feet long. The room is aglow with the light of many candles and the loveliness of gracious southern ladies dressed in crinoline, lace, and satin. The elegance of this magnificent setting makes our hearts beat faster and our senses quicken as the music in the gallery mingles with the faint fragrance of magnolias that drifts in through the high French windows. And when we are seated at a table covered with fine linen, sparkling crystal, and shimmering silver, we open the menu and discover such rare and unusual dishes as venison chops with currant jelly, Tennessee opossum baked with sweet potatoes, oranges sliced in Maduro wine, and Maxwell House coffee. Yes, we're at the old Maxwell House in Nashville, Tennessee, known 50 years ago all over the South for its famous cuisine. The coffee we enjoy is the coffee all Nashville is talking about. It's a new blend just created by a man named Joel Cheek. Yes, that was over 50 years ago. Since that time, the fame of this wonderfully delicious coffee has spread across the length and breadth of this country, has made and held millions of friends. But today, Joel Cheek's original Maxwell House blend is even richer, more delicious, more downright satisfying than ever before. And for two very good reasons. First, because we've found a way to blend Maxwell House to a new perfection of flavor and body. A rich, mellow flavor you'll find in no other coffee. Second, there's the new radiant roast process, which roasts each coffee bean evenly all the way through. It brings out the true, natural flavor of this wonderfully enriched new blend. With radiant roast, there's no chance of weak coffee due to under-roasting or bitter coffee due to parching. Now, that's why more people are buying Maxwell House today than ever before in its history. Why don't you try it? Get a pound tomorrow, won't you? Your own enjoyment and satisfaction will tell you this new Maxwell House is now, more than ever, good to the last drop.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. Tonight, there seems to be an air of mystery in the house. It is way past midnight, and Daddy, played by Henley Stafford, is seated in his dim study, poring over some curious books and making frequent notes and signs on scraps of paper. Let's him look in very quietly.
Shh. Progress moon, Venus in Mercury, definite cosmic urge. Looks like I'll play Blue Nose in the fifth if the odds are right.
How, Daddy?
Snooks.
Did I scare you?
Look, it's almost 1 o'clock. What are you doing out of bed?
The blanket slipped off.
Well, what of it?
I had to get out and tuck myself in.
I see. Well, get in and tuck yourself out. Go on, be off with you.
What are you doing, Daddy?
Why, I'm working. Yes, I have a very important business deal on tomorrow.
Why are you looking at those books?
They're astrology books. I'm consulting the stars.
Why?
On account of this big business deal. You wouldn't understand. Now go on to bed.
All right. Daddy!
What is it?
Is it the same deal you was working on last night?
Yes.
Did that horse win?
Snooks, how do you know I'm playing the horses?
I know.
Well, don't snoop around so much. If she wasn't my own child, I'd swear she was a witch. Nothing. Now go to bed and don't dawdle.
I want to dawdle, I want to doodle, I want to deedle.
Oh, stop that. And put that book down.
What is it, Dad?
I told you it's an astrology book.
What's astrology?
It's the art of judging the influences of the stars upon human affairs and of foretelling events by their positions and aspects to form horoscopes. Good night.
Good night. What's horoscopes?
Oh, look. Take your birthday, for example.
Is it my birthday, Daddy?
No.
Why?
Because you were born in August.
How do you know?
I have good reason to remember it.
Why?
Never mind why. The fact remains that you were born on the 31st of August. And that brings you under the sign of Virgo.
Does it?
Yes. And the day you were born, Mars was in Capricorn.
I thought you were home.
Who?
Mars.
I didn't say Ma, I said Mars.
Who's she?
Mars is not a she, it's the name of a planet. And Capricorn is one of the astrological positions or signs. Capricorn is the goat.
Why?
Because that's what it means. And there's Leo the lion and Cancer the crab and...
I'm figuring out the bull.
No, that's Taurus the bull. I was born under that sign. Well, what are you laughing at?
I don't know.
Well, this is no time to learn astrology. You're going to bed.
I'm hungry.
Well, what do you want?
I want some icing, some pie, some chocolate cake.
Oh, you do, eh? Well, you'll take a piece of apple and like it.
No, I won't.
Now, listen here, Snooks. When I was a youngster like you, I didn't have chocolate cake and stuff like that. I was lucky to get a crust of bread.
Oh. Daddy.
What?
Aren't you glad you're living with us now?
You'll never learn to appreciate anything. Why, I used to work 14 hours a day just to get the bare necessities.
Get the bare what?
Necessities. Groceries.
Did you have a bear, Daddy?
Of course not.
Well, why did you have to get him groceries?
I got the groceries for myself.
Did you give any to the bear?
There wasn't any bear. I'm trying to tell you how hungry I was. I was almost starved. So you know what I did?
You ate the bear.
I didn't eat any bears. I didn't see any bears. I just worked very hard.
Why?
To keep the wolf away from the door.
Did the wolf eat the bear?
No, there wasn't any wolf either. The bear I'm talking about isn't a bear. And the wolf isn't a wolf. It's just a figure of speech. You can't see that kind of wolf and you can't hear him.
Then how did you know he was at the door?
My stomach told me. I had a gnawing there.
Did you eat the wolf, too?
Nobody eats wolves!
Why?
Because they don't!
Ah. Why were you so hungry, Daddy?
Because I worked so hard. I had to ride a horse over miles of land and herd cattle.
You rode a horse?
Yes. I had to ride about 15 miles from the farmhouse. What's worse, I had to ride bareback.
Why didn't you ride the horse back, Daddy?
I did ride the horseback.
And who rode the bear?
Nobody. Forget the bear. I rode the horse both ways, but I rode bareback. That means without a saddle, no seat.
The bear didn't have no seat?
Well, I'll go to sleep. Go on, get into bed.
Tell me a story.
I can't remember any story.
Tell me a story about the 40 thieves.
No. You're too young to understand politics.
One from that book there, that one.
I told you this is an astrology book. It has no stories. Now, look.
That's a story, ain't it, Daddy, that one?
What? That?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's an article on hypnosis. Hypnosis.
What is it, Daddy?
Nothing. Just let me see this for a second. Come here, Snooks. I want to try something.
Huh?
Look me in the eye.
I don't wanna. What you making those faces for?
You are under my spell. I am your master. You will obey me. You will go to bed and to sleep. Sleep. Sleep.
What do you think you're doing, Daddy?
I'm hypnotizing you. Sleep. Sleep. Sleep.
I'm sleepy.
Ah, what's the use?
Thank me again, Daddy.
No.
Come on.
I know. I'll make you stay out of bed.
No, you can't. I'll get right in.
All right, get in. But I'll bet I can make you get out.
Let me see you do it.
Okay. Get under the covers. Yes. Now, when I say get out for the third time, you'll get out.
The third time?
Yes.
But you can't make me.
I am your master. Get out.
I won't.
Now, this is the second time. You must obey me. Get out.
I won't.
All right, stay there until I tell you to get out the third time. Good night.
Good night.
Now another number from Meredith Willson and his marvelous Maxwell House Orchestra. Last week, many of you seemed to enjoy Meredith's treatment of the South American way, so he has prepared another Spanish gypsy arrangement of a tune that was popular fully 10 years ago. Lady, play your mandolin.
Lady, play your mandolin. Won't you play your mandolin?
Ole, ole.
Lady, let that tune begin.
Enchanting tune, Meredith. Your music is most delightful.
Well, thanks, Ed. Gee, I like a little fulsome praise now and then.
Well, everybody does.
Even Roland Young played me a compliment last week, and you know what a sour puss he is.
Thank you, Meredith. I like a little fulsome praise now and then myself.
Oh, gee, Roly, I didn't mean to knock your face behind your back.
Think nothing of it, old boy. How are you, Edward?
I'm awfully glad to see you, Roland. You're looking ghastly.
Thank you. My puss is mopping up tonight.
What's that?
Oh, forgive me. 5 minutes with Slapsy Maxie and listen to me.
He is infectious, ain't he? Did he upset you?
No, not in person. He was in a dream I had. An ordinary nightmare is bad enough. Just imagine a nightmare of people with Rosenblum.
Oh, hideous. How does one go about dreaming of Rosenblums?
One doesn't go about it, old boy. But if one eats ice cream and lobster, one must pay the penalty. Of course, the book I was reading before I went to sleep didn't help either.
Well, what was the book?
A work on prison reform. It's called... How to Get Duped from Contented Prisoners.
Deep stuff. It's bound to give you a nightmare. Were you a warden in the dream?
No, I was a prisoner. But it was a most unusual institution. We all had monogrammed towels, individual sun lamps, and shortwave radios.
Well, sounds like heaven on earth.
Yes, but I must say I was surprised when the duck season opened and every prisoner was handed a 12-gauge shotgun.
Well, very kind indeed. Did you shoot your limit, Roland?
I didn't go. Never did care much for hunting. But the chap in the next cell to mine came in with a wonderful bag. 4 mallards, 2 coots, 3 canvas specs, and the keeper.
Oh, one of the prisoners shot a keeper.
Oh, not maliciously. It was a typographical error.
Typographical?
Exactly. Instead of shooting a turkey, he shot a turnkey. Oh, don't it? Poor chap. They took away his license for a week.
Well, that seems rather harsh.
It was for this particular prison. I can't tell you how considerate they all were. For example, now, the guards used to wake us in the most delicate manner imaginable every morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. It's time to get up, number 692.
Oh, it's the screw.
Would
good
you
morning.
Like your breakfast sent up, or will you come down for it?
Let me see the menu. Mm-hmm. Oh, my dear screw, I do wish they'd stop reminding us we're in prison.
But what's the matter, 692?
Well, just look at this menu. Cantaloupe a la calaboose. Orange juice cow a la huska. Come, they sort of reached for that one, didn't they?
I thought it was kind of cute. The rest of it's great.
It is, eh? Keepered herring. Oh. Chili convict carne. Maxwell House coffee in the can. And J-Lo in six delicious flavors. Oh, just bring me the 75-cent breakfast.
Yes, sir. Oh, good morning, 718.
Hello, Screw Scram.
Yes, sir.
Are you 692?
That's right, yeah.
Well, let me in. I'm your new roommate.
Oh, delighted. I didn't catch your number.
718.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know you. Wait till I unlock the door.
Say, why do you fellows lock your doors around here?
Well, you can't be too careful. Why put temptation in the keeper's way? Sit down, won't you?
Okay. Say, which bunk do you sleep in?
Well, I like the upper. Altitude's better for my asthma. I say, your face is awfully familiar. Do you know Edward Arnold?
I killed him.
Oh, lovely chap. Lovely chap, I always thought, such a hearty fellow. And you know, you remind... Did you say you killed him?
That's right. Say, you don't mind if I put my knife under your pillow, do you? Just in case.
Knife? No, not at all. Quite a large one, isn't it?
Well, but I'm handy with it.
I see, yeah. I don't want to be personal, but what are you in for?
Habitual murder.
Habitual?
Yeah.
Were you in the habit of murdering just anybody, or did you have a specialty?
Specialty?
Oh. Yes, of course, chap's got to specialize nowadays. No chance for a general practitioner. Murder. What type of murder did you specialize in? I'm infallible on faces. I never can remember a number.
718. Right. I murder actors.
Oh! You kill me.
Yeah? What business were you in, buddy?
Oh,
come on, what was your racket? Yeah. Yeah, I think I've seen you somewhere.
Oh, no, I've never been anywhere. I'm not an actor, if that's what you're thinking.
No?
Oh, no. I used to be a sailor in the Merchant Marine. Here, look at this tattoo on my arm.
Where?
Well, it must be the other one. No, nothing there either. Oh, I remember, yes, it's on my brother. He was a sailor, too.
Yeah, well, how do you pull in the spinnaker when the boom is on the luff?
Any particular color?
Hey, who do you think you're fooling, buddy? I know who you are.
I'm not Roland Young.
That does it. Where's my knife?
No, don't kill me.
Come in.
I'm glad to see you. What do you want?
My name is Rosenblum. I'm the interior decorator. Hello, Fats.
Hello, Stumblebum. Come on in.
You don't look like an interior decorator to me.
I certainly am. All my ancestors were interior decorators. I got a natural feeling for bric-a-brac. Rugs, drapes, pictures, chairs. They're in my blood.
How do you get your clothes on?
Listen, Rosenblum, I've got work to do. Now, how do you want to fix this cell?
Oh, it won't take long. I'll just pack up a couple of doilies on each wall.
Is that all? What about the drapes?
Why, they're exquisite. Nothing goes better with a cerise rug than magenta drapes with vanilla and polka dots. You fellas don't know how lucky you are. This is a dream cell.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, I wish I had it.
Would you like to trade cells, Mr. Rosenblum?
Would I?
Hey, wait a minute.
You and 718 will get along fine. He has just one little peculiarity.
Never mind that.
Well, it's a trade. I'll be on my way.
Now, you're not going to get away that easy.
Just a minute, Mr. Rosenblum. Will you tell 718 what your profession was before you came here?
Certainly. I was the greatest actor in the world.
Goodbye. So long.
And right now, I'd like to tell Miss Nadina Connor how glad we are that she's on the program with us tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. It's good to be here for two reasons. First, because it's like old times singing for the friends of Maxwell House. And second, because the fragrance of freshly made Maxwell House coffee is in the air. And if I'm not mistaken, that means...
You're right, Nadine. It's time for our grand old Thursday evening custom. A moment of relaxation over a steaming, friendly cup of the coffee that's good to the last drop. So friends, wherever you are, all over the country, pull up your chairs right now. Because for each and every one of you, there's a cup of fragrant Maxwell House coffee. Here's yours, Nadine, Edward, and Maxie.
Say, that sounds good to me. I'll take a saucer, folks.
Meredith, music, please. We return in just a moment with Edward Arnold, Baby Snooks, Nadine Connor, Billy Hallop, Daddy Hanley Stafford, Maxie Rosenblum, Connie Boswell, and Meredith Wilson's music. In the meantime, we pause briefly for station identification.
This is Edward Arnold again, and we open the second half of our Maxwell House Good News program with a dramatic sketch which will star one of our guests. I guess everybody in the world has heard of the Dead End Kids by now, and everybody certainly knows that Billy Hallop was one of the most talented youngsters in the group. Billy, I feel highly honored to play this sketch with you this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold.
And we're going to do a story written for radio by Shirley Ward called The Night Is Dark. Warren, will you set the scene for us?
Bill Wheaton, a wealthy Texas rancher, played by Edward Arnold, is driving his car along a lonely road in the desert. It's a dark night. Bill's been driving a long time, and he's glad to see the lights of a service station up ahead. Good evening, sir.
You're right, my boy. It is a good evening.
It's cooled off a bit. Sure was plenty hot today. Want me to fill her up?
Yeah, I guess you better. Nap says I got a good stretch of desert ahead of me.
That's right. About 80 miles of it. Where are you heading for now?
Oh, the home range, Texas.
Texas, huh? Well, you got a ways to go yet.
Oh, I reckon I'll pick me up some company on the way. That young fellow on the road there looks likely. Seems like he wants to go my way.
I wouldn't pick him up if I were you, sir. I don't like his look. Everybody passes him up.
Well, he just looks like a tuckered-out boy to me.
You got a lonely road coming, and some of those kids are plenty tough.
Oh, shucks. I ain't got nothing anybody'd want. Hey, son. Hey, where are you heading for?
Almost anywhere. You going across the desert?
I aim to. You want to come along?
Yeah, I'd like to, thanks. Been out there near an hour. Nobody will take a chance.
Oh, you look all right to me, son. Hop in. What do I owe you, amigo?
246, all told.
Oh, here you are. Sorry, it's the 10 as small as I got.
Oh, that's okay. Looks like you got plenty of those.
Yeah, I did have when I started out, but there's not many left. Still, I reckon we'll eat on the way, son.
Here you are, sir. 3, 4, 5, and 5 at 10.
Oh, thank you. Well, good night.
And good luck.
Well, son, it's that easy. We got a long trail.
Yeah.
Got a good night for it, though.
Slow night. You like him, Doc. Suits me okay.
Yeah, me too. You know, there's a funny thing about a dark night. The day always seems a lot brighter. You ever notice that?
Days all look alike to me. Small car you've got.
Yes, sir. She steps right along, don't she?
What can you get out of it? What speed?
Well, I never had her up to that 110 that's marked on the speedometer, but I did step her up to 90 for a little piece the other day, and she was just a high-tailing along. I reckon she could get away from most cars, if that's what you're thinking.
Who said I was?
Oh, nobody, sir. Nobody. Only most kids like you, your age, think in terms of speed and getting away from things. After a while, you sort of ease up and let life ride alongside. Well, life's pretty slow and easy, son, once you get into the gate of it.
Easy. That's a laugh. Easy for you older guys, maybe. I guess you're sitting pretty, but it ain't for my kind.
Oh, it will be.
Yeah, when we're 6 feet under.
You got a name, son?
Sure, Rick.
Just Rick?
Ain't that enough?
Well, if that's the way you want it, but names like brands sort of tell you things about folks.
Sometimes they tell too much, if you remember them.
Yes, you do a lot of remembering with names. Abe Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin, David Crockett, Joan of Arc, George Washington. Folks who fought what they believed in. Yes, there's some names worth a heap of remembrance, boy.
Well, mine ain't so, so forget it.
Where do you come from, Rick?
Oh, I've been all over. I was in Washington, then I thumbed it down through California. Thought there'd be some jobs picking fruit. There was too many of it. Ah, why look for work? There ain't none.
Well, I meant, where did you get your start? Where did you come from? You had a home once, didn't you?
Sure. Bathtown, Ohio. But I lit out when Mom died.
Ah, that's too bad. Your daddy still living?
Yeah, he's there. Starving on a farm.
I sort of figured you come from a town like that.
Why, do I look like a hick?
No. But you look as if you had roots, son. Deep in good American soil. And there's a heap of strength down there to draw on, a heap.
Suppose we stop talking about me. I don't like answering questions, see?
Oh, sure. I was just making talk. Now, me, I ain't much to talk about. Name's Bill Whedon. I got a couple of thousand acres south of San Antonio. That about says it all.
Just a couple of thousand, huh?
Well, there's a lot of folks has more, but we managed to graze quite a few beef critters.
Yeah, and get rich. I knew that the minute I saw you. Look, Mr. Paul, over to the side of the road.
Huh? Oh, you're sure, sir. Getting a bit car sick, eh? You know, I'm local for not figuring maybe you hadn't it lately. Well, we'll fix you up pronto. I got some sandwiches and a thermos of coffee right here in the car.
Never mind about that.
Oh, no trouble at all, son. No trouble. Here we are. That's good beef in those sandwiches, too. Had some myself. And this hot coffee will fix you up fine.
Hey, listen, I didn't come out here
to... You don't have to look like that. Eh? Ain't a crime to be hungry. I pulled in my belt lots of times. Come on, tear into it. Only take it easy.
Sure. Why not? We got plenty of time, I guess.
We'll go all night. Well, I'm in no hurry. Kind of awkward, ain't it, Rick? Eating with one hand? What's the matter with your right arm? You hurt it?
Yeah. I pulled a ligament or something. Lifting trunks for a lady. When it hurts me, I let it rest in my pocket. It hurts me now.
Well, now, that's too bad, isn't it? You better let me pour your coffee.
Where's that bottle be? I'll do it when I'm ready.
Oh, you're one of those that likes your coffee after you eat, eh? Okay, son. Everybody to his taste. I'll roll me a smoke.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, by golly, I'd like to swap places with you.
Me? That's a laugh.
Yeah, I mean it.
Yeah? What's the gag?
Gag? Ooh, I ain't trying to harry you none. I mean it's mighty fine to have life ahead of you.
What's fine about it? Just trouble and looks like plenty more coming.
Sure, there's a lot of trouble coming. But you can't take on a new job, son, till you finish the old one. And the way I figure it, we're sort of at the end of a big page in our history books. And we're just getting ready to turn over to a new one.
So what? Who's going to change things?
You are, Rick. You and your generation. There's a new range all ready for you, son, and you're going to ride it. When the trouble's over, people are going to want a world that's different, built on different ideas. A world where kids won't have to be thumbing rides. It'll be a pretty big adventure, Rick, for them that are strong enough to wait for it. That's why I say I'd give a lot to be you. And have a part in that building.
Mister, you're nuts. And if you ain't, what's the guy going to do in the meantime? Starve?
Maybe. Men starve for a lot less and die even.
Yeah, well, I ain't. Come on, mister, shell out that roll. This is a stick-up.
That right hand don't hurt you so much now, does it, Rick?
No, it don't hurt when I got something in it. Come on, I ain't fooling.
I can see that. Well, here you are. I reckon there's about $100 there. I couldn't say exactly.
That'll get me where I'm going.
Where's that, son?
I ain't decided.
You might help if you made up your mind about it.
Listen, quit talking. Go on, get outside. I need this
car. Okay, Rick, if that's the way you want it.
Here, you're a cool one.
Well, I ain't much afraid of guns most times, but I don't argue with them in the hands of a scared kid.
Who's scared?
It's only natural. A fellow on his first hold-up is going to be a bit nervous. This is your first, isn't it, Rick?
Maybe it is, but it ain't going to be my last.
No, I reckon it won't.
Well, I haven't got all night. So long.
Fool kid. What's the matter, Rick? You forget something?
Listen, mister, there's snakes and things out here. I'm going to be a good egg. I'll let you ride away and dump you outside the next town.
Well, now, that's right good of you.
Yeah, but you got to promise to give me an hour's start before you get the dicks on me.
Sure, son. I ain't certain I'll tell him even then.
No, I know you're nuts. I'll bet you'll be behind bars before I am. But okay, come on, get in. Listen, did you mean all that stuff about a new world?
Sure I mean it.
What makes you think it's going to be that way?
Well, when you get to be my age, Reek, you kind of feel things. When they're in the air. Besides, the Bible says that... Did you ever read the Bible, Rick?
When I was a kid. The old man made me go to Sunday school.
Well, it says a lot there about what things are going to be like when it gets time to turn that big page in history. And if you sort of look around you, it appears like maybe this is the time they was talking about. These days, right now.
It would be swell, wouldn't it? To have work. To have a chance.
Yep. Worth working for and worth waiting for. What's the matter, Rick?
Nothing. I just want to get rid of this bundle of old clothes. I'll be back in a minute. Get some pennies for a man. Got him all spattered. Desert makes a good ass can.
Yep, a swell ass can, the Desert. Bet you that six shooter lay there for years before anybody rustles it up.
All right, wise guy, so what? I changed my mind, that's all. You can dump me at the next town. Here's your roll.
Now, look, wait a minute. I'll just take 10 for gas, and you keep the rest, son.
Skip it, I ain't taking no favors. I'll take the 10 when I get south somewhere. Someday I'll send it back.
Bearstown, Ohio, huh? I knew those roots were deep.
Ah, shut up, can't you?
Sure. You know, I had a boy once, Rick. I lost him. I've been pretty lonely. I got some women folk, but, well, I still hanker for that boy. That ranch of mine's a handful for an old fellow. Got a good string of horses down there, too. You ever ride, Rick?
Some. When I was a kid.
Ah, you'd like it a heap. It helped me a lot to have you there, Rick. The fact is, I've been looking for a hand like you.
I quit it. Nobody's going to give me a break like
that. And nobody's given you anything, son. Whatever's coming to you, you've given yourself tonight. And you'll work for what you get and work hard. But it's a good waiting place. And I've been waiting for a son for a mighty long time. A son like you.
Gee, you sure are a crazy guy. But if you need a miss, I ain't going to say no.
Bill's the name, son. Just Bill.
Say, Bill, did you show anybody how to be crazy like you?
Sure, it's easy, son. All you got to do is use your head.
Ah, great work, Edward Arnold and Billy Hall. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Warren Hull, and I just want to break in here while Edward Arnold gets his breath to introduce our second guest star for this evening. He's a young lady who was with Meredith and myself on the Kilbo program 3 years ago. One of the most brilliant sopranos in radio, Miss Nadine Connor. Nadine's going to sing one of Victor Herbert's loveliest melodies, Romany Light, from The Fortune Teller.
Never any other. Well done, Nadine Conlon.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold.
And now, Warren Hull.
I have a lady here, a fine cook, Mrs. Lee Millar, and I'd like to ask her a question. Tell me, Mrs. Millar, in your opinion, what's the secret of a good cup of coffee?
Why, that's a very easy question, Mr. Hull. Good coffee depends on the quality of the coffee that goes into the blend and the freshness of the coffee that goes into the cup.
Well, of course you're right, but only half right.
Half right? What do you mean?
Well, you see, Mrs. Millar, today, with all the ways there are of making coffee, it's just as important to use the right grind of coffee as it is to use the right kind. Even the very best coffee, ground one all-purpose way, can't give you the most in flavor or the most in economy either. And friends, that's just why the new Maxwell House comes in not one, but two scientifically correct grinds, drip and regular. If you make coffee by the drip method, in drip pot or grass coffee maker, you'll need the special drip grind Maxwell House for full extraction of that precious coffee goodness and flavor. On the other hand, if you prefer to use percolator or coffee pot, you'll find the regular grind Maxwell House will stand up in the longer brewing and give you the clear, sparkling, full-bodied coffee you should expect day in and day out. So if you want to make really delicious coffee day in and day out, ask your grocer for a pound of the new Maxwell House in the grind that's right for your way of making coffee at home. Drip or regular grind, we think that once you start using the right kind of coffee in the grind that's right for your way of making coffee at home, you'll be enjoying coffee pleasure at its best.
Very aptly put, Warren. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's...
Daddy!
Snooks, be quiet.
Why?
Edward Arnold is going to say something.
Now, ladies and gentlemen...
Daddy!
I told you to be quiet.
I want to tell a joke.
Not now. If you make another sound, I'll take you right home.
What's the matter, Daddy?
Oh, nothing, Eddie. Snooks is just fidgety, that's all.
You know, I've never met your daughter.
Well, you haven't missed anything. Snooks, this is Mr. Edward Arnold.
Oh, lay down.
What for?
I want to bounce on your tummy.
No.
Oh, that's all right, Daddy. She's only a child. Well, Snooks, I'm very happy to meet you. You go to school?
Uh-huh.
I suppose you have lots of toys, little playmates, and I guess you eat all your spinach and drink your milk, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Now, that's fine. Now, haven't you got a lot of questions you'd like to ask me?
No.
Why not?
Because I ain't nosy.
Now, that's enough. Snooks, you're going right home.
No, no, please, Daddy. Please, I don't want to tell you how to raise your child, but I think you're being a little hasty.
Oh, you do?
Yes. I think you can make her do anything you want, but you have to humor the child.
I see. Well, go ahead and humor her.
Oh, Snooks, dear.
Uh-huh.
What is it you'd like to do?
I want to tell a joke.
Is that all?
That's all.
Oh, very well. Tell your joke.
All right. If the biggest man in the world had the biggest axe in the world...
Yes?
And he came to the biggest river in the world...
Uh-huh.
And right by the river is the biggest tree in the world...
Oh, come on. Get to the point.
Well, if the biggest man with the biggest axe chopped down the biggest tree and it fell in the biggest river...
Well...
Wouldn't make a heck of a
splash. Oh, that's great.
Very, very funny.
It's a wonderful joke, Snooks.
You think it's funny?
I certainly do.
He's crazy, Daddy.
Now, you stop that kind of talk.
No, never mind, never mind. Now, Snooks, I've got to let you tell a joke. I let you tell it, and you satisfied?
No. Now I
want to
see.
Oh, but I'm afraid we haven't time for that.
Go ahead and humor
us. Well,
hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. Let me handle this. Hey, you shut up, kid.
No, I won't.
You can't see
nothing.
No,
I want to see.
You can't see nothing around here, understand?
If you don't let me sing, I'll...
You'll what?
I'll knock off holding your mouth.
That's all I want to know. Go ahead and sing.
You win, Snoop. Watch the song.
The mule, and it's very pretty, too.
Just you wait till I get you home.
A mule that I knew had a trick he could do. He could wiggle his ears up and down. So I thought it would be very clever of me. So when you find all on the town, I practice a year till I wiggle feet. Just exactly according to rules. But I do it so well that nobody can tell whether I am myself or the mule. If I am myself or the mule.
For the past 6 weeks, Meredith Wilson has dedicated the concert halls to the stimulation of American music. He has commissioned 5 famous American songwriters to try their hand at writing a waltz, a humoresque, a lullaby, a serenade, and a nocturne. You remember that last week the first commissioned piece was played, Peter DeRose's beautiful American Waltz. Now the second is ready for its world premiere, The American Humoresque, written by one of our country's best-loved composers, Sigmund Rumberg. All right, Meredith? Sigmund Rumberg's American Humoresque.
Thank you.
I hope everyone enjoyed the American Humoresque as much as I did, Meredith. My compliments, Sigmund Rumberg. All of us here at the Concert Hall hope that this date will always be remembered as the day a beautiful composition was first played. Next week in the Concert Hall, Meredith will introduce the third of our new American compositions, A Lullaby by Duke Ellington.
Another grand show, ladies and gentlemen. Edward Arnold will be with us again as Master of Ceremonies. Our guest of honor will be Walter Houston and his charming wife, Nan Sunderland, who will appear together in a play Walter made famous, The Commodore Mary. The regular gang will all be here too, of course. Fanny Bright, Hanley Stafford, Roland Young, Connie Boswell, and Meredith Wilson. This is Warren Hull reminding you that Maxwell House comes in both 1 and 2 pound cans, and that if you use lots of coffee, you'll find extra economy and convenience in the 2 pound size. And now, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.